Okay, hello. Welcome to episode 5 of
Suck Off.
Wait, can I do my Roman version of it?
Please!
He's like, suck off. The best I got. Fuck. I was supposed to apply for health insurance today.
Oh, crap.
Speaking of our dads telling us how to do everything. Welcome to Suck Off. This is episode 5, the Thanksgiving episode.
I went to the market.
It's actually just called I Went to Market. I don't know what that's about, but
I get, it's the game that they play or whatever.
Which, can I just say, what a shitty game.
Dumb game. It's not fun
at all.
Of course the obscenely wealthy have no idea how to entertain themselves with nothing, you know?
Oh my God. I want to see this family try and play like Code Names or something and how bad that would go. Quiplash? Can you imagine a Roy family Quiplash?
It would probably be some of the most like horrible,
the worst shit you've ever,
like fucked up nonsense that you've ever. And then all of them being like, "Why would you say that?" But it's like that every round.
Kendall, like, I can be funny. I can be funny. I got jokes.
He's well established.
Honestly, all of it would be them paying someone else to write in their answers. Like, that's what it would be. This is the Thanksgiving episode. It's one of my favorite episodes in this show.
Okay.
It kicks off with the introduction of Ewan, Greg's grandpa.
Yes.
Who,
happy Thanksgiving. Not for the Indians.
Not for the Indians.
I guess still not.
With the road trip where they're not, no banter, no music.
Yes.
Just focus
vibes.
On the road. Just 12 hours of driving.
What's the longest road trip you've ever been on?
It is up there. It's like 12 hours. Maybe it was from Rochester, New York to deep into Maine.
Meow.
It was a long trip. It was supposed to be 9 hours, but we stopped in Portland for a while and it turned into like a 13-hour day.
That'll do it.
It was, we left at 4 a.m. It was miserable. It was really bad. But, you know, it was fun. Anyway, what about you? What about you?
When I was a kid, we went from Ohio to Florida, which is like a 17-hour drive total, but it took way longer than that.
That's crazy.
It was brutal. But,
all in one day.
I know my mom certainly tried for a day, and I can't recall if we actually did do it in a day. But I also did Ohio to North Carolina in high school. That was
brutal. That's decent, yeah.
That was a chunk of change. Yeah. However, I did not have Greg or Ewan in the car with me. So perhaps that would have changed some things.
A little bit better. You didn't have Tom calling you up and being, fuck your grandpa.
Oh my God, so good. So good.
In my opinion, and I know I say this every episode, but that scene alone is like top three funniest scenes.
It's so funny. What are you doing? I'm sorry. Greg says, I'm in Canada. And Tom goes, oh, with the healthcare and ennui? What are you doing there, cocksock?
Greg's like, Tom, with my grandpa? Fuck your grandpa, or whatever.
The thing is, you're on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Because I'm driving.
Yeah.
Wait, what is this? You're on speakerphone? Tom just, like, devastated, quietly goes, well, I shouldn't be, Greg.
That's the line. Well, I shouldn't be, Greg. It's like, tries to bite back in the worst way. This is the prenup scene when Shiv... Top of the episode, Shiv hands him the documents and she's like, you should look over these. And he's like, I can just sign it right away. Like, I don't even need to read it. I like so oblivious to why he would need to.
Like a guy who at least thinks he's in love.
I know. And mind you, this is after the last episode.
Right, where she just betrayed him in his mind.
She just did. And she was like, you should really look over this.
As a gesture of love to you, I will have my lawyer look over this prenup.
His lawyer ends up being his mother from the Twin Cities. A very well-respected lawyer in the Twin Cities. gets me every time.
It's so charming and so sad watching Tom and Shiv interact in the moments where you think that they're in love.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, she is just from such a different world than he is. And it's these two unlikely lovers and maybe this will really work out.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, they miss every single time.
When they're in the back of the car and he's like, love you, Mom. Happy Thanksgiving. And he's like, well, maybe we'll see you at Christmas. Or New Year's. And Shiv's just like, what?
I was doing the Shiv face for anyone wondering.
She's just like, no, you're not going to see them.
Absolutely. And then later on, when the mom looks over the prenup, Tom is like, well, she described it as unconscionable. Like, of course, Shiv has this like aggressive ass prenup.
Yeah.
That is just, I don't actually have any idea what would be unconscionable about the prenup because I don't know about
the actual
logistics of getting a prenuptial.
Yes.
So, but I happen to be an unmarried person. I can't help it.
There's Kendall in the elevator. There's the scene where he's going up the elevator and there's like two interns behind him.
Yes.
Kind of hyping him up and they're like, we think you're a legend.
Dorks.
Down there.
Those guys love Elon Musk and you know
they,
it.
Oh my, are you kidding me? They work at Waystar Royco. Like fucking.
And have compliments to the CEO. Like,
right.
I get that sometimes you're like brown nosing because you like want to get ahead, but this was not brown nosing. It wasn't like, hi, I'm Josh. I love your work. It was, we love you, dude. We're nobodies. It doesn't even matter. Yeah. We just want to tell you how much we are obsessed with you.
Yeah.
Creepy fanboy behavior.
It's really sad for like Kendall too, because I'm like, these are the guys that like you. Like, I don't know. He's stooped so low to where it's like, this means something to get respected by these two like nobodies. So and I feel sad. Okay calling them nobodies because I'm like, you're interning at Waystar Royco.
And they were literally not named.
Andrew Tate fanboy. Yeah. it's a sad scene, even though it's meant to kind of be like, oh, Kendall's doing something right. Like, it's sad.
Your innovations in data storage.
Yeah. He's like, that was me. Yeah. That was me.
I was in the room when that happened.
He like leaves with a smile. It's just such a great Jeremy Strong moment.
Such a good TV show where all of these scenes can be imbued with such sadness and tragedy despite having like the characters be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg, they do end up talking a little bit in the car. Greg is like trying, from what I understand, maybe you know it a little bit better than me, but Greg is trying to get Ewan off the board.
Yes, he's trying to get Ewan to give up the board seat.
Why is he at this point, though?
At this point, I can't remember.
It doesn't make that much sense at this point in the show.
It must be retroactively explained because, again, like it's probably one of those things they set up. However, we do know that Kendall is brewing this vote of no confidence for Logan. Part of that would include getting Ewan on board to vote in such a way. Mm-hmm. However, Greg's motive of getting Ewan off the board makes no sense. And perhaps it's because Greg thinks that he has a chance at getting on the board.
Yeah.
And like just doesn't understand anything about business. Mm-hmm. Because in the little recap before the episode, Logan, like there's the scene with Logan and Greg. Mm-hmm. And Logan says, I'd do anything for my brother if he just asked. And it's, I don't know if that's like,
Greg this is kind of for? Greg is following up on that
And like it's just like Greg's complete misunderstanding of how business works. Again, I don't know because I don't remember, like this is not a plot thread that I recall from the first watch. So perhaps it will be explained later. I doubt it will though.
I also, now that you brought up the Kendall thing, that he's like brewing this plan, I guess you could look at the elevator thing as him like getting this new boost of confidence, like I got this going on for me. And honestly, the last shot of this episode, I know I'm jumping ahead.
You jumped ahead all the way to the last shot?
All the way to the last shot. It's a pretty hard shot of Kendall. Yeah, like, he looks pretty fucking cool. I'm not going to lie.
And he looks cool because, again, the plot thread that we're following here is at the beginning of the day, Logan and Roman are called... Logan. Kendall and Roman are called into Logan's office. Uh-huh. Logan says, we're going to buy a package of local TV stations, to which Kendall and Roman say, that's a bad business idea.
No one watches
Why
TV
would we
anymore.
Do that? And Jerry's like, well, actually, they do. Mm. And it shows how out of touch Kendall and Roman sort of are.
Yeah.
At least Roman is out of touch because he just personally believes nobody watches TV and just thinks that that is the correct opinion.
Yeah.
Kendall is out of touch because he believes that that's like a dying market. He thinks that innovation is the way to go with fucking data storage or whatever. Despite two episodes ago saying that crypto is a bubble, whatever. Right. Anyways, Kendall just does not believe that local TV is the way to go. Jerry says it's a good idea. Logan says everyone in here is dumb except for Jerry. We're doing the local TV thing.
Yeah.
And now you get to know how I think. So then he pours the coffee and it's fucked up because he doesn't stop pouring it. Roman witnesses this, is very like personally caring and sensitive to this sort of thing. Tells somebody who then tells Kendall. And Kendall gets this idea after being called an idiot by his father.
Yes.
After getting called a genius by these two weirdos in an elevator.
Yep.
Brews this plan of getting a board vote of no confidence for a CEO.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Well, after this show, yes, I was not beforehand.
It's not super difficult to understand.
No. It's just if you get enough votes, they can vote him off the top. No confidence or something.
It's not that they vote him off. They say, like, this man is unfit to do his job, and all the shareholders are going to know that.
Yes.
Which basically, like, he could keep doing his job.
Yes.
But, like, nobody would.
And isn't it Frank who kind of talks this over with Kendall for the first time? Yeah.
Frank is like, I'm intrigued because Kendall comes at it from a place of the real Logan, the unsick Logan, would not want us to let him destroy the company.
Yeah.
And that is what appeals to Frank, who I guess is a loyal person, or at least he appreciates the spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so Frank is like, keep talking. I'm in.
Well, yeah, because Frank did get fired episode one. So there is a sense of like, I would bite back, you know? Should also note a great detail of that scene is Kendall has no fucking idea how to make coffee. And he's like, I sent them all home for Thanksgiving. And then it's revealed at the end of the scene that there are still people there. He's like, we're skeleton crew. And he's like, where the fuck are the beans? And she like rolls her eyes at him. And
opens like a pretty easy to access pantry that's right there.
Obvious drawer.
Watching him work that what seemed to be like an espresso machine or coffee machine. Yeah. I have one in my house and they're not too terribly difficult to work, but you do need to have used it once to know how to use it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really not something you could raw dog and figure out. I couldn't at least. Like, you need at least an instruction manual.
Right. It's sad. So there's that. It's the beginning of what we'll follow up in the next episode, which we won't get into.
This was also, to circle back to last episode, one of those Kendall things where he is out of touch and he does hold a lot of power over people, even if that is not his psychic experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that, it's fun and interesting to watch that manifest in different ways, because it's like, you are watching someone who at least thinks he's a good person and tries to be a good person, but then you get these little like, Carla, get in here!
Yeah, yeah.
Who is not home for Thanksgiving.
Right. I do like there's more kind of Kendall Roman bonding in this. I pointed out to Cookie that where they like after that meeting at the beginning, they go into wherever Roman is like working out and they're just like ranting about the local TV thing.
They're saying two completely different things at each other.
They're kind of on the same page.
I guess they both think they are, but watching the scene, it's like you two are not talking about the same thing at all.
And it's cute.
It's cute. It's kind of fun and charming because like that's how I talk to my brothers.
I brought this up in the last episode that I want to compare Roman and Kendall to Ewan and Logan.
Yeah, why? A lot of names. What's this thread that you're thinking?
Well, I just like I the more I'm paying attention to the show and how Logan moves, his like sense of humor, I'm like, it makes sense that from the beginning he kind of looks at Roman a bit more seriously as a contender than Kendall at least, because I'm like, I don't know, I do think Roman matches his father more than Kendall does.
Like and personality and the X factor.
Personality, just the no bullshit, kind of like we'll just step on anybody to get where he wants to go. Yeah, I was gonna compare like how Logan's sex life is with Marcia to Roman, but that's getting too, I don't want to get into that territory. But then I'm like, Kendall has like good intentions, but is still like shitty in a way, like goes about it really destructively. And I don't know. There's the moment where Kendall's in the elevator with Ewan and he's kind of spewing all the issues he has with Logan and Kendall's like nodding along very enthusiastically. And I know it's just to get the board seat thing, but I'm like, I do see a bit more Kendall and Ewan than I do Logan. And it just makes you wonder like how that, the way that Logan and Ewan ended up like apart and destroyed, like they fight all the time. I'm like, it makes you wonder what Kendall and Roman look like down the line. And if there's any, you know, frustration with that with Logan because he doesn't want his like sons to end up like his brother.
This is going to be something I stew on for a long time. I
picked up on it this episode and I'm like, it's something to pay attention to because like clearly Logan has a really frustrating relationship with his own family and his own siblings. And I'm like, I wonder if he sees that in his own sons and, you know, sees Ewan in Kendall. And that's why he gets so mad at Kendall all the time because he's like, you remind me of my own brother and I hate you.
Unrelated, this is a very big Marcia L episode, whereas before she's gotten a series of W's, Marcia invites you and herself and is trying to play this game herself, where she invites Jerry and Frank and she invites you in and she's trying to
her
make
son her, too
yeah and also her son she's trying to make this very specific thing happen and tells Ewan that Logan's going to apologize, and then the most devastating scene is where Ewan says, I was here so you can apologize, and Logan says, for what?
That is a big, pretty, that's a pretty big Marcia L.
Yeah, huge Marcia L. Like, she just did not orchestrate anything the way that it was supposed to go.
Yeah. Honestly, kind of, you know, it ends pretty poorly for her, all things considered.
But, I'm sorry, circling back to your point that you were making before about Logan's, like, being brought up and not wanting to repeat the same mistakes. When Kendall's son, Iverson, who clearly has some sort of issue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never really explained in the show what his issue is.
His name is Iverson.
It's such a shitty name. Such like a rich person name.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Kendall's obsession with, what is that? That's a basketball player or something?
Is it?
Yeah.
That's
Allen, yeah. I think that's the reference it's trying to make.
That's so funny. Yeah. I never knew that. But Iverson has a hard time with transitions and is overwhelmed by a lot of people, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Logan says it doesn't matter. He will do as he's told.
Yeah.
Which really betrays sort of the childhood that he perhaps had. Mm-hmm. Perhaps a difficult childhood. I just wanted to add to that thread of all of the, you know, familial things, the familial ties coming down.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of how Logan, like, was brought up and the way his family ended up the way it is. Mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with the way he acts. Well, yeah. Obviously, that's, like, not even a point. But I'm just like, it's worth looking at, I feel like, his relationship with his brother, because it doesn't happen that often because they don't see each other. So I'm like, anyway, they're at Thanksgiving. I would like to say everyone brings, I forget what it is, the same thing.
The same cranberry sauce?
Yeah. And the only one who gets it right is Jerry, who brings some, I forget what it is.
Yes.
But they're like, oh, this is great. And they're like speaking in French about it. And it's like, yeah, it's another Jerry doing the right thing.
Of course. She always will do the right thing.
She gets it right. Okay, wait. Greg smokes weed.
Oh, my God. We haven't even gotten to the real meat of the episode yet. It's Greg, Roman, and Grace out smoking, what does Roman call it, swag?
Yes. Oh, my God. It's perfect.
And Greg takes one hit of the swag, and Roman's like, yeah, I don't really do it. You're going to get really high, man. And then Greg gets so paranoid. It's so good. But
it's
this
amazing.
This is actually the best scene in the show. Tom in the turtleneck.
I know.
Greg in his little sweater.
I wasn't paying enough attention, but I was like considering doing like a rank of everybody's Thanksgiving fits.
Oh.
But it doesn't really fucking matter because Tom is at the top.
Tom and Greg both win.
Tom and Greg both, yeah. I love it when Greg is like feeling what we can assume is pretty high at this point, like out on the ledge. And then Tom comes out and he's like, you and I have had our bumps. And Greg is like, big time. And like smiles. And I was like, oh.
Oh, it's like, so good.
What does
though.
Greg think that means? You know,
I wish, like in my heart of hearts, that they did the same scene and they just had him act the same way and we didn't have any context that he's high. I wish that's just how he acted towards Tom.
Yeah, and basically, Tom asks Greg to go shred.
Shred a fuck
documents.
Ton of Cruz's documents.
Chopping it up.
This one saves the day, and this one goes away.
Greg, chopping it up.
But yeah, Tom is told, it's somewhere at the top of the episode, that these documents need to be shredded because, it's the Cruises, it's the NDAs, this problem will just go away if we shred it away.
Yes.
Whoever is on the ledger of going in there to shred it could potentially run into a lot of issues later.
Yes.
And so Tom can't do it himself. The guy who advises Tom can't do it. Tom picks Greg.
Yes.
And Greg does it.
And he does it in the most, like, Greg way, where it's like he's talking way more than he should.
Yeah, he's being so suspicious when he approaches the person, like, running the ledger of
when
who signs
like,
in and out.
Tossing the bags in the back of the truck at the end, he's like, just getting rid of documents, a lot of documents, gonna go away. Like, why are you talking
but
right now?
Greg makes... Oh, the ultimate move that I even on first watch knew this was going to be a thing.
Yep.
Greg photocopies basically the top page of every stack of documents that he's making, which is such a Greg thing. If it were me, I would have photocopied every single one.
Mm.
But I'm built different.
Yeah. You're not as... Well, you're more committed, I guess.
I am more committed. Maybe more committed to reading. Like, I would have read through the documents and be like, oh, this is really bad. I'm going to save
Greg just
this.
Wants the surface of it. Yeah.
And so Greg saves all of these top pages and puts it in his own little accordion, and then he shreds the rest of it as told. Oh.
It's beautiful.
Oh, I knew it was going to be so important when it first came up. Oh, so good.
Into his L.L. Bean initials backpack. GHS on it or whatever. So perfect. This is like, it's a very good scene. Especially, yeah, it just, you know, it's going to come back to bite him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it, Tom, for that record.
It really just makes it so clear how, I mean, like, obviously this is also not a point, but, like, the show is just so tightly written and it's so intentional. And, ooh, it's like a, not a mystery. It's just, like, all the threads that they bring up are just so delicate and intricate, and they all come together in such, ooh, it's like watching two stars collide.
Yeah.
In space. It's so good.
And it's genius because I'm like, yeah, Thanksgiving. No one's going to be at the... anyway, so there's that. Kendall and his son, I guess we talked a little bit about that. He like goes and like plays Legos with him, like that. He's a good dad at the end of the day.
He tries to be a good dad. However, if I may, Rava and Kendall having this talk about Iverson and Kendall being like, well, I'm just gonna sit here and play Legos with Iverson. Rava is the primary parent,
yes,
and Kendall is like. Functionally, he cannot be the primary parent because he works so often. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is a little frustrating where you're doing your job as the primary parent and you're supposed to be like, you are spending all this time with your kid or whatever. Someone just comes in and is like, oh, don't worry, I got this.
Yeah.
It's like when you're cleaning something and you have like one dish left and someone and comes like, in and is
no,
like,
that's me.
No, I got this.
I'll like, take that off your hands. Yeah.
It's like, well, fuck you. I'm already doing it. Like, come on. And so again, Kendall like tries, and in his psychic mind, he is a good dad because he loves his children. Yeah, he's good intentions, but at some point, like you just, man.
Yeah. The one that gets along with the kids the most is, what's her name? Grace?
Grace.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot the turkey thread.
So the turkey thread thing still confuses me a little bit because I'm like, what is the origin of that? Because it really hurts Roman. Can you explain it?
So... ATN or Waystar Roku, or whatever, not ATN, Waystar Roku, had developed this, what was clearly a children's movie about a turkey.
Yes.
And Roman was in the room where it was being pitched or approved or something. Mm-hmm. And Roman personally thought it was a really bad idea and tried making the movie not happen. He said, I hate this movie, cut it off. And they went with it anyway. And it broke a bunch of box office records. Like the movie did really well. And so Greg and Grace have this really important interaction where Greg is like, okay, why is Roman mad that the movie's doing well? Like, everyone gets a bunch of money when the movie does well. And she goes, that's not the point. Like, the point is that his pride was hurt because he said no to this movie that wound up doing awesome. Which then, like, you know, the little stick in the end is that Grace is watching that movie with those kids.
Yeah.
And Roman's like, come on. Like, you're spending time with kids who I've clearly established that I hate at this dinner. And you're watching this movie that I hate. Like, and then he goes, blah, blah, blah. It's not you, it's me. Blah, blah, blah. We're broken up. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then she is like, you want to talk about how we have sex once every 6 months? And he said, well, we just did. Goodbye. And then they are broken up. Because
they
of this
break
fucking,
up at the end of it,
because of this fucking turkey. I mean, because of everything else, but because of the fucking turkey movie.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Does the thread make
sense? Yeah. No, totally makes sense. I was just confused on the or. Like, I always get confused when Roman starts talking about movies. Because he does in the first episode, too.
Yeah.
Where, I forget what Logan brings up, some movie. And he's like, what, is this fucking Godzilla or whatever? And I forget what he was talking about, but...
Yeah, it's, Grace's line of that's not what it's about, Greg, is so important. Because that just, like, informs so many of these other terrible decisions that all of the Roy children make.
Well, money's just, like, not a thing
they
in this
show. They just don't care.
It just is not important.
Which, I guess that is kind of a key difference between Logan and the kids, is that Logan did not grow up with money. And so making money is very important to him. And for them, it's just not, because money exists and we have it.
Yeah.
And so they just consistently make bad decisions because that is not their number one goal.
In fact, I feel like... Tom and Shiv have some line about this in that first prenup scene where he's like, you have a
you
lot of money.
Money.
Yeah, I didn't. And it's everything's fine. Yeah. And that's kind of how they look at it. There's the Ewan and Logan fight scene, which I feel like we should talk a little bit about.
We should discuss.
Like, of course it was going to happen. Do you remember what kicks it off?
Logan collects these...
The watches. Medals. Yeah,
like war medals from the past, and he's showing Grace. And Ewan keeps making these snide comments of like, well, it doesn't matter how much you paid for that. You didn't fucking fight in a
war.
It's
out of respect.
He says, I collect these out of respect. Weird.
Yeah.
And so this like bubbles up into finally Logan says, well, you only volunteered for the war to impress a town slut.
Yes.
And then Ewan fires back with the most like weird thing that I would think that he's saying. He said, I fought communism in Vietnam. And it's like, I would have kind of thought he'd be down for communism now.
Knowing his character.
And then Logan goes, what, did the Viet Cong, come out of your drain pipe in Ottawa? So good.
It basically ends with Ewan storming off. Mm-hmm. and he, it's funny because he like wants to leave right as Greg gets back from burning documents, and Greg's like, well, I'm starving, and they call him an Uber, and he has this line that like really stuck with me. It's like when it first like felt like things were very serious, when he's like, this family will tighten its around your neck like a boa constrictor or something. Well, he doesn't say boa constrictor, but then Roman is like, I think it's a boa constrictor. And I'm like, yeah, it's just like, seems like the first person that gets how toxic the family is kind of like says something about it in the show. Mm. And I don't know. I think it sticks out because you see Greg kind of turn to the other side in that scene. And it's kind of tragic. So I'm like, yeah, he sided with the Roys over Ewan, and it's, yeah. And he sees that it's not going to end well for Greg at the end of the day. And that mm-hmm. his, even though he thinks this is the right decision at the time, it's ultimately going
to And Greg
him.
Thinks he's got this like smoking gun or whatever yeah. to protect him. Not, you're not protected by a smoking gun. That's really amazing. I just made that. I was thinking of like a shield of armor, but then like, I don't know.
Nah, I know what you mean.
All right.
All right. We're not, no guns in this show.
No guns.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a really good scene.
It emphasizes the tragedy of the show, yeah. despite the show being so funny. Mm-hmm. I know that we sit here and just laugh our asses off talking about this fucking show, but it is so sad.
It's such a sad show. Well, also, immediately after the scene, Kendall hops in the elevator with Ewan, where he tries to convince him
yes.
of what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And Ewan kind of is like, no. Like, he's like, I
wouldn't betray Logan like that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you missed the point, Kendall. Like, this is, I do care about my family, and you're doing exactly what I said is I'm against, is like, you're yes. biting against the family. And yes. it's just such a, it's once again, Kendall thinking he's making the right move and is like kind of falling
and
on his face.
Fundamentally misreading every interaction he's had with Ewan up until yeah. this point.
Yeah, misreading all of it. Yeah. Which I guess disproves what I was saying earlier, where I feel like they align, but I don't know. I still feel like Kendall would be
more in line with that.
There's like a small moment where Kendall and Ewan are talking, and I'm like, they make a good father son if that Aww. Were the case. But yeah, I guess what ends up, well, let's not spoil it about what ends up happening with the vote, but
well, Jerry, at the very end, after, so the I went to market game yes. goes very wrong, Logan gets very frustrated and winds up smacking Iverson, mm-hmm. the child who already had a hard enough time being there.
Yeah.
And so that convinces Jerry, like, oh, Logan is unwell. Mm-hmm. Like, I might be down for this vote of no confidence thing, which is yes. a huge W for Kendall.
Yeah.
Specifically.
That's why, honestly, if we're jumping ahead to who won this episode, I would say Kendall. I mean,
yeah, because Frank's on board, Jerry's on board. I know Ewan's not mm-hmm. on board, but I mean,
it made Logan. Okay, this is kind of his son made Logan look bad in front of everybody. Yeah. I guess that was a really bad look for Logan.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Logan made Logan look bad.
Yeah,
but it was because Iverson.
Kendall
was there.
Brought Iverson into the room, or like,
and it certainly wasn't to make Logan look bad. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
No, definitely was not intentional, but. You know, at the end of the day, Kendall is kind of got everything he wanted.
I see. Oh, that's a fucked up way of looking at it, because his kid got hit.
I know. That's why I'm like, it's kind of a shitty Kendall way of looking at it. But he's like, I'm glad my kid got hit because it works for me in the end, because Logan looks bad.
Do you think that?
I don't know if I sincerely think that, but it would be. If it were Roman, I think he would think that.
Oh, absolutely.
If it were Shiv,
this is kind
same
of
thing.
One of the very few Logan L episodes.
Yeah, but the episode ends crazy, where he does recite the right order of events from I Went to Market.
That's true.
And I'm like, that scene always was like, what does this mean? Like,
I think it's just that how human memory is weird. And I think it's like one of those things where, yes, there is some signs that he is still in there, but I mean, you don't just hit a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is the sign of someone who's deeply unwell, frustrated, got into this accident. Like, if you were in full control of your faculties, that would not have happened. And just because memory is weird and, like, some things can come back to you a little bit after, like, mm-hmm. that's a promising sign for his mental health.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't think it necessarily means, like, oh, he knew the whole time.
No. So. It also could say, like, you know, this the act of abusing or like hitting a child or technically family, it's his mm-hmm. grandson, like, is something that sticks with him. Like, oh. that wasn't like a nothing
thing to him. And maybe he thinks about it like that. A little bit late. I mean, that's a stretch, but I don't know. I think Logan is just more competent and more emotionally aware than people make him out to be. And that's a good, that's a scene that kind of emphasizes that.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know.
I didn't
I don't know if Logan is the full loser.
I mean, he looks like an asshole in front of everybody.
He does look like the asshole, though. He probably is the loser.
Yeah.
Is this the first Logan L?
I think this is a Logan L episode.
Yeah, it's a Logan L.
Because, like, just really nothing goes right for him. He just has a miserable Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Hits a child. I mean, then just goes to bed. And, like, he's surrounded by people he fucking hates.
Yeah, that's a Logan L.
And because it's a Kendall W, that's, like, that's is a Logan L. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is that... unbeknownst to him, Frank and Jerry are planning on turning on him. That's an L.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a Greg W?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, no, actually. I mean, it's setting himself up for a W. God, it's hard to say who fucking won this episode that isn't Kendall. Like, Kendall gets what he wants.
Marcia even did not
Marcia
have a great...
Marcia gets an L, yeah.
Honestly, Jerry won the episode for bringing the right thing to Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. It's just laid out so clearly. Yeah. Jerry won. Why are we? Everyone go home.
Marcia's son, who apparently is in charge of animation overseas, he won.
He won.
He stepped up. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, Logan absolutely lost. He looked like a big... He looked weaker than he ever has in front of the family.
Yep.
Both, like, unstable, couldn't do the turkey.
Yep.
Like, he looked very weak. Mm-hmm. Which is a bad thing in this show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Thanksgiving episode. It sets up for, honestly, what I've been saying to people is just get to episode 4, which is the last episode, because I'm like, after that episode, it just takes off. And
shit goes
truly
crazy.
When you look at the rest of the season, not one episode flops. It's just nonstop hits. So, very excited for next episode.
Yeah, baby.
Anything else to say?
Let's see. That's kind of it. Yeah. I mean, we did the damn thing. Did we ever say who we are on this podcast, or did we just raw dog it?
I'm Carson Rundquist.
I'm Christian Borky.
Thanks for listening. And as always, suck off.